strong, empowered, authentic.
What's up, Ginger Nation? This is Tosh.
This is Darren, and you are listening to the Authentic
Ginger Podcast. Welcome to the Authentic Ginger Podcast. I'm Tosh Taylor.
And I'm Darren Roach. And I'm also excited for today because we have a very special guest. You want to know who this guest is? Check this out. Today in the show, we have a radio morning show host, or a radio show host morning at K945 in Moncton, New Brunswick. And we have owner of the podcast hub, Tosh, it's you.
Welcome
to our show today. I am super thrilled to be having the show today because I've been wanting to do this for a long time. And I'm hoping that our guests are going to really appreciate this show because your business and what you do for podcasters around the world, we're going to get into that shortly. And I think it's fitting that it becomes our last show of the year for this Christmas, before this Christmas holiday break that we're going to pop into here in the next few days. So welcome to our show. How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. We talked off air about the fact that our families have been sick as dogs for the last, seems like 2 months. And so sounds like you might be getting clear of that now at this point.
Yeah, and you do not sound like you're clear of it, hence your voice.
That's right. Yeah. I feel great. I feel great. I've been coughing. There have been times where I've been coughing at nights that it feels like my head's going to pop off my shoulders. And so I think this is just a result of all of that hacking and coughing. But nonetheless, I feel good. And we're kind of getting settled in here for the holidays and kind of can't wait to get things going, to be honest with you. It should be a good season, I guess, if you will. So, but enough about me. Let's talk about you. I mean, this show is dedicated to Tosh Taylor and the podcast hub because I want to know more. And I know our guests, our listeners, I think they're going to want to know more too about what podcasting really is. I mean, we've done this now for over a year and the show, and you know, I'm not sure how many people know exactly what goes behind these shows, but that's your forte. So maybe if you can give us a quick sort of overview of what the podcast hub is and does, then we can get into it.
Sure. So the podcast hub is essentially my place to teach people how to podcast, because I feel like there should be more podcasts in the world. And I'm not alone on that. Google actually thinks that there should be one podcast for every person who walks the earth, which I think is a tremendous feat because we're nowhere near close to it. Like, I know that a lot of people will say that podcast world is oversaturated right now. You and I are the only redhead podcast I've ever seen.
Yes.
So it's not completely saturated just yet. But if you consider how many podcasts there are out there to say bloggers, for every single podcast show, there's like 750 blogs.
Right. Wow.
And for every one podcast, there's 65 YouTube channels. So there's not that many podcasts just yet. So I feel like people have very important stories to tell. And really interesting stories to tell or really interesting facts. So that's kind of why I wanted to help people get into it, because it's a lot of fun.
One of the things we do in the show, and I think we should follow the show the way we normally do it.
Okay.
We talk about red hair and things that redhead people are doing. And then that's why we're talking about you today in the podcast hub. But let's take our audience back for just a quick second on you as a redhead growing up. Now, I know throughout the show for the last year and a bit, we've heard a lot of your stories about being a redhead and stuff. But if you wanted to kind of recap your kind of existence as a kid growing up with red hair.
I am actually a long line of gingers. So having ginger hair, I know we had a lot of guests that have said, like, I'm the only one in my family and the purple sheep or what have you. And I am not. there are a lot of us. My mom's mom is a redhead. My dad is a redhead. All of my dad's brothers are redheads. So there's three of them. They're all redheads. And my brother and I are both redheads. So, and we're very fiery red. Like, I was born with fire engine red hair. It has really calmed down over my years. I also grew up in a really small town, and our family was the only redhead family, I would say. No, I think I had one friend that was a redhead. Everybody I went to school with was related to me. Everybody I hung out with was related to me. So I didn't have bullying issues over my red hair. It wasn't until a grade five teacher pointed out my hair that I noticed I was different.
Right.
My maiden name is Wood, and he would call me Redwood. That was the name that he decided to call me, which is awesome. Kind of ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know. You wouldn't get away with that these days, I don't think. But
I can see that if you were a male. I mean, that might make more sense.
Yeah. So that was it. Yeah, that was about it. But yeah, I can remember like being in Zellers and like old women would come up and talk about how beautiful my hair was. And I also have very curly hair as well. So, which I straighten these days. So it's nowhere near as curly as it used to be. But it was my brother and I both had just giant red hair right on the top, a lot of Ronald McDonald-ish going on there. Right.
You know, what's really interesting. I saw a post of your daughter that you posted the other day with straight hair.
Yeah.
And I was floored by how much that changed her looks.
Yes. Yeah.
And I said to you, I said that in that post, you know, if folks go look at her post, you'll see what I'm talking about on Tosh's Instagram. I said, oh my God, it's a mini Tosh.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have said that when she has her, because she's normally the one who has curly hair.
Yeah, they both do. Yeah.
They both do. So I don't think I've ever seen your hair curl before because you wear it straight now. But I mean, so your childhood was pretty good. Like, I mean, you had been called names, you know, there were some of those, the traditional names, you know, the fire crotches and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, not until like college and high school, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Even later. So, yeah. So I don't know if I've ever asked you this, but what got you into, so you're a radio host, at K94.5. Is that how you say it?
Yep. K94.5. Yeah.
94.5 in Moncton, New Brunswick. I'm curious, you have an education in radio?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is that? I can't remember exactly what that was.
It's kind of funny because I was excruciatingly shy as a kid. And I know that you clearly would not think that now.
No.
But I was like, if someone pulled out a camcorder, I was gone. You could not find me. Family photos, I didn't want to be in them. I don't know when, somewhere in high school, I ran out of all the fucks I had to give is kind of what I say. Mm-hmm, like there, mm-hmm. I didn't care anymore and I lost that. So it was kind of nice to lose that. And I have always been a naturally nosy person. Maybe that's because I grew up in a small town. So I wanted to be a journalist. That was what I wanted to do. So when it came time for high school on the job training, we had the option of where we wanted to go. And in my town, there's a really small newspaper and I wanted to go work at this newspaper, which was in some old man's basement.
No way.
And my parents let me go, but anyway,
weird.
Yeah. I had my own key to this guy's house and I would just let, anyway,
yeah.
when it was all said and done, my guidance counselor said to me, okay, now that you've got that out of your system, do you still want to be a journalist? And I said, yeah. And he said, okay, but you're not going for print. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he goes, you can't waste your voice. He's like, I want you to go to radio school. And he's like, just try it out. Like so the college I went to was Loyalist College in Belleville, Ontario. And they do print, they do TV, and they do radio. And you kind of do everything together. Like you do a lot of the same classes together. He's like, go if you can apply and get into this school, he's like, I suggest you take broadcast journalism because I don't want you to waste your voice. And if you decide through the printing classes that you prefer the writing aspects, then he's like, I've done my part either way kind of thing. And
so he heard something in your voice.
Yeah. And that was it. But the funny thing is, and he would have never known this, but I'm named after a radio announcer. So it's kind of, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. There was a radio announcer in a town close to where I was that my mom loved her name. And that's it's just come full circle. I wish
what
I could
her
find
name?
That. Natasha. So my
is that what your name is?
My name is Natasha. Yeah.
Oh my God. All this time I had no idea.
I know. Surprise. And do you know that the way I spell my name isn't the legal way to spell my name either? So
this is crazy.
Back to that high school, but not that guidance counselor. My home ec teacher hated me. She would always call me Tash. And I would either not respond or I would correct her every time. And she said, until you start spelling your name the way it sounds, I will call you the way it's spelled. I mean, there are such things as soft A's, but anyway.
Right. So wait a second. I need to dissect this for a second.
Yeah.
Did you then call yourself Natasha or was it Natasha?
No, my name's Natasha.
It is Natasha.
Yeah.
With a long A.
With a long A.
So shorten that is Tosh.
Correct.
However, Tosh, as we know you, is an O, not
correct.
An A.
That's right. Legally, it's an A.
Got it. So is that because you don't want people calling you Tash?
Correct.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
It just kind of stuck. It stuck from there. My life got easier once I started spelling with an O. So I should credit her a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
But
that's right.
It has nothing to do with being a redhead at all.
It doesn't, but it does have something to do with something I didn't know, which is your start into radio, which eventually leads you into podcasting. So, mm-hmm. so somebody tells you, don't waste your voice. Your guidance counselor or whomever that was, yeah, after you did your journalist stint in the basement of an old man's house. And when you say it now, it kind of sounds really creepy.
Yeah, super creepy.
Right? So that happens. And then, you know, how long are you in radio before you go, I really enjoy doing this, I'd like to take this one step further?
A very long time. Just the other day was November 11th was my 16th anniversary on K94.5, which is the only radio station I've ever worked for. And Podcast Hub officially launched, I don't even know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, give or take, because I had been doing it for a while before I decided to make it a business. And because then you know how it goes. You start doing something and then people start reaching out and like, how can you help me? And then I thought, I might as well do something with this, because if any of you know, if you work in radio, you have to have a side hustle, because you do not make money working in radio. Radio is because you love it and you're addicted to it and you have a giant ego.
And you get billboards with your face.
And occasionally you get billboards with your ginger hair all over the city. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So you were you telling stories as a podcaster before the Podcast Hub?
Yeah.
Did you have your own?
I did. I have done a few like serial podcasts. So Serial, there's a difference between this. So the show that Darren and I do is an episodic podcast. So that means we release episodes. We intend to do them weekly, but as we said, this fall has been pretty rough on the both of us. So there was a plan to be episodic. So that's when you're releasing a show weekly. Serial is when you put out 10 episodes, let's say you batch 10 episodes and you put them out. And if you search me and go back and find those, I apologize in advance for the audio quality because they are atrocious. But
yeah, it's gotten better over the years.
You learn, right? You learn as you go. Plus equipment has gotten better over the years, et cetera, et cetera. So some of them are pretty bad.
Right. So 3 years ago, you launched the Podcast Hub, and your thought behind opening a business that was going to, or that is helping podcasters get their show on air. You know, did it take long to get your first client? Did it take, you know, how did you get your first one? Do you remember, you know, kind of exactly what they were looking for when they first came to you?
I definitely had my first client before I even launched the Podcast Hub. And then it would have just been a friend that needed some help getting things started. And then a lot of people find that the process of podcasting, I'm not going to say it's easy, because it's not. Mentally, it's very, very draining when you're creating a show concept and then all of the plans behind the scenes for a show as well. But once it gets to editing, you're either so mentally spent by the end of it, or you don't have a history in audio editing, which a lot of people don't, obviously. Yep. So a lot of people I find come to me, they think they're going to be able to do it, and then they get to the actual editing process and they're like, No, I need someone to do. So it started with me producing people's podcasts, which the majority of that is still me. Like, I have 12 podcasts that I produce on a weekly basis or bi-weekly basis, depending.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Right now. So it becomes the editing process, but a lot of people, and two of my clients came from them assuming that they were going to do it themselves. So we set up meetings where I came and I taught them how to set everything up and how to like what things to use. And then they came to me for the production after. And that's where kind of the idea for the Learned Podcast School came from, that I just launched in November, where it's just like you buy into it and you get a private link on YouTube and it is go at your own pace videos, so that you can go right from like planning your podcast name and launching, you know, your logo and all that stuff, all the way and to the end of launch day. And there's like a video on editing and how to interview and things like that.
And you've done all those videos.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
I did. They're not long. they're not long, actually. Like, you and I, like, before we started the show, we had a lot of phone calls about it.
We did, yeah. I was gonna reference that starting point. Yeah, yeah.
Because it is a lot to think about. So the nice thing about these, like, because before I was just doing them, like, an hour-long Zoom calls or showing up at someone's house for an hour.
People. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not enough time. Plus, it's like I was literally just spewing information at people.
Yeah, and you can't teach that. People will come against that as they do, and it'll just kind of flow into their show. When somebody is thinking about launching a podcast, and they can go to your website, thepodcasthub.ca, and there's a link for the school.
Yep.
So they can okay, and then there's a cost to be able to kind of go at your own pace and learn at your own pace. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if that was started when you and I first started talking. Had it been there, I would have been one of the first things I jumped on, you know, because again, when I was looking for thinking about doing a podcast, and several people had been saying at the time, you know, you should really do a podcast with this, and you know, there's a lot of stories to tell. You're telling stories already. Why not just make a podcast? And you know, by fate and chance, you know, we ended up hooking up on Zoom to do an interview that I was doing with you about similar to what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. Very similar. People can go on our YouTube and find that interview. I think it's there, but. When it's somebody who's, because I've had so many people say, I want to start a podcast. And that, of course, no different than you. I've got people saying, well, Darren, you want to do a podcast with me, right? Like, first of all, I go, well, I'm lucky because I have someone who really knows what they're doing. So I can't give you much help, you know, but it is true. There are people out there that are constantly looking to launch a podcast. And I say, look no further than getting started with someone who knows what they're doing, because I don't think I wouldn't have started a podcast. I would have tried and it would have failed, because if you don't know what you're doing, and if you don't know what lies ahead, like, give me, Tosh, and the audience an idea of startup costs for a podcast. Like, what rough costs, you know, it's just some of the equipment that you absolutely need and what it could cost you. Because I think people would be surprised that it's not as much as you think. But it is necessary.
You can start a podcast for about $100.
There you go.
There you go. So yeah, simple. There you can buy, if it's just you, and or if you're doing like Darren and I do with a co-host that doesn't live near you, so you're in two separate spaces, then yeah, you just need a microphone and headphones. Like, we both have like big can headphones on right now. They're not necessary. The ones that come with your iPhone are totally fine. The essentials is a good microphone. Which I will tell you is one that I suggest to most people right now. Back in the day, it used to be the Yeti. The blue Yeti. I used to really like that, but it has definitely gone by the wayside over the years, and it's been overtaken. There's one out by Samsung's QU2, and it's a USB and an XLR microphone. If you start off your podcast with just you or you guys on Zoom, you can just plug it right into your laptop and away you go. But if you get down the road and you decide that you're going to have someone come into your studio, and then you're going to get into the world of buying mixers and stuff, and that like is a lot of information, so we don't need to talk about it today. But then you've already got a mic that will click right into your mixer as well. So it's a really good mic. And the last time I looked, it was on sale for $86.
There you go.
Yeah.
And again, that's $100. That's what you need.
Yeah,
right.
That, like, you know, in a room. So, like, if you have a walk-in closet, you're good.
Yep.
You know, it's a free. I record radio shows in walk-in closets. So, like, it's a great, great way to create some really great sound. You don't have to have a studio. Like, Darren's in his kitchen right now.
I've always been in my kitchen in this podcast. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, when you have a good mic, you do have a good mic. Exactly. So you got to pay for the quality and then your space. And then there are little things that are going to come up. Like, if you are doing a co-hosted show, you're going to have Zoom fees, or there's other options that do the same thing that Zoom does, Zencastr or Riverside. You'll have those little fees that come in there. And then a host site. We use Buzzsprout, but with Buzzsprout, it's about $15 a month, because it's 12, but then the US conversion. So,
right.
But $15 a month. So little things like that is, they'll come up, but you can actually start on Buzzsprout for free for 3 months. So,
yeah. And while you're on that topic, one of the things that I remember coming to you with, one of the biggest questions I had as a potential podcaster before the show even started was, how do you get podcasts on air that people can listen to? Where do they listen to? Because in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, somebody who had no idea about podcasting at all, in my mind, I was like, well, what do I do? Do I put it up on Apple as a song? Or like, how does my podcast get to Spotify, Apple?
Buzzsprout is who I'm going to tell everybody to use because it's the easiest, I find. It's user-friendly. If you are like Darren and I and you're a co-host in different places, we both have access to it. So when the audio file is done, I upload it. He goes back in and writes the show notes and yep. names the episode. So you can both use it interchangeably, which is really nice. It does all the work for you. It puts things on Apple. Cause I've had people ask me like, do I have to pay Apple to have my podcast up there? Do I have to pay Spotify? No. You pay Buzzsprout and Buzzsprout uploads them for you. So there will be a section called directories, and there are far more podcast directories than I ever knew existed.
Right.
Where people can go and listen to podcasts. So they're obviously more popular ones all over the world. But we reference Apple and Spotify the most because they're the most popular ones here. And it's actually what you guys listen to us most on as well is Spotify and Apple. So,
right. And also just so we can keep in line with the podcast hub, if that sounds like it might be a bit of a challenge for you, cause it can be, I mean, it sounds easy to us because you've been doing it for a lot longer than I have, a lot longer. But that's what you do. That's a podcast hub can help you do this. So someone can hire you to produce their show. And as we talk about the producing the show, and again, I come from a music background. You know, I've owned a record label in the past so I know what it means to produce something. What can your company help new podcasters do in the producing side of things?
So essentially I'm a cleaner. I go back through. And when this podcast comes out, there will be a lot of things that I take out of it that you will never know I took out of it. And here's the thing with podcasting, a lot of people have absolutely zero background in audio and recording their voice at all, interviewing. So you do things that you're not realizing you do, and that you, or there might be noises that you're not accustomed to, you don't notice, but I, who has an audio background, will notice that, say, your voice gets louder in this section, or, you know, you garbled over here, or you said or too many times, or I say a lot. And I'm not telling you that you need to remove every and ah, because it still needs to sound natural.
Right.
So it's little things like that where, if it's an hour long podcast, I am probably set to spend 2 hours, 2.5 hours cleaning up your podcast. And I know that there are so many people that would say, why wouldn't you just put it out the way it is? You cannot. You can.
I've asked that question. I've asked that question before too. Why can't you just put it? Because, and I'll tell you why we think like that. Because I'm that person. You have a radio background, you have broadcasting background. I don't. But the reason why we ask that is because in our brains, we're thinking, oh, naturel, it's authentic. Yeah. But you know what? It may not be authentic to ears of people if there's always there are times when I cough and I don't hit my mute button by mistake, or I'm too late, or there's pops in the mic that I go, you know, one of those things like in a clip or a high clip. Do you really want to listen to that, folks?
People are listening and they don't realize they're listening for audio quality, but you are. You're it's the same thing. You wouldn't, it's like unedited show versus an edited show is like American television compared to Canadian television. There's a big difference.
Yeah. Huge.
Huge. Huge difference. Yeah. So if you can see the difference between those two, or like, you know, a Hallmark Christmas movie or a Disney Christmas movie, then you're seeing the difference, and you may not realize it, but when you're watching something compared to when you're listening, you're paying more attention to when you're listening. So you're going to notice those irritants.
Oh yeah.
And you can still make something sound very natural even when it's edited.
Yeah, half the time when I listen back to the podcast, when it comes back after you've produced it or chopped it up and put it together, I can't tell parts that you've taken out. I have no idea. Like, no. I honestly 100% have no idea what came out. I don't know. It's just when it comes across, I grin because I go, God, man, we sound pretty good.
She made me sound smart.
She made me sound smart. She left out that dumb thing I said. I don't know what it was. Oh, there's been plenty of those. Trust me. I know there has been. If I came to you and said, look, I'm interested in using your services. You know, I have an idea for a podcast. Do you take every idea podcast? Would you take anything that comes to your way, or do you look for specific podcasts?
I don't think so. I'm pretty money hungry, but I think everybody's idea is a good idea
to them.
To them, exactly. And if it won't, they won't be the only people in the world that, you know, that think that that's a good or think that it's a good idea.
It's all about telling stories, you know, and you'll work on your flow. You'll work on how you talk. You know, I often listen to other podcasts just to see how they speak. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and I know, I'm not sure if I've told you this before, but I think I have. Howard Stern for me is one of the guys that I he's one of these radio people that I'm drawn to, and mm-hmm. I've been drawn to his the way he interviews people is specifically what I listen for, because I just like the way I find him engaging that way. I find he engages with the audience or with the people that he's interviewing, and so I listen to that to his show just to kind of get a way of how he does his thing.
You 100% have to research what you're doing. And that's why I listen all the time. And I'm going to tell you the two main things that you're going to catch from Howard over, you know, a million other podcasts and why you probably like him so much. It's he's confident and he's secure and he's comfortable.
Right.
And that is when you're interviewing someone, you have to be comfortable. You have to be confident. And it's not going to come right away, but it will come over time. And so that's you listening to other podcasts. So let's say you're going to create a podcast about being gluten-free. Okay. Yep. So there are a million other podcasts out there about being gluten-free. Listen to them, learn from them, take what you like out of it and leave what you don't. And then you'll know how to arrange your show. So, you know, you and I are just kind of freeballing it with this one, because like we said, it's the only Redhead podcast that we've been able to find.
Okay, so one of the things I wanted to ask you again, another thing is, give me three pro tips that we can give our listeners for, I don't know, if tell me what it is. I mean, three pro tips of a good podcast, or if you want to get more specific, give me three pro tips of something that is important that people should know.
Okay, first and foremost, you are not going to get rich. They're like, you and I have not made a damn dime.
We haven't. We're on very this show. Volunteer based, aren't we?
We're very, very volunteer based. So you're not going to get rich. And I mean, some people obviously do. And if you do, that's absolutely fantastic. You need to be into it for the same reason I said I'm in radio. You love it. You know, it's something you want to do. You have an incredible story to share, or you want to teach people about something really cool. Right. Then you need to have a podcast. But yeah, first and foremost, being rich, you shall not be. What else? That audio is absolutely key. The sound quality of your show is 100% key. And this is going to be such a freaking pot calling the kettle black, but consistency is key. So yeah. We know that we haven't been showing up over the fall, and we apologize for that, but that consistency is a major, major thing. And I'm going to add a bonus in there too. Don't worry about your download numbers.
I was going to ask you about this. Okay. Yeah. Tell me why.
Because they're just, people get so wrapped up. And they quit their podcast so fast because they don't get 1,000 listens right off the hop. Do you know how hard it is to get 1,000 listens on an episode? Freaking hard.
Yeah.
So it's not going to happen overnight. It might happen, you know, in due time. Mm-hmm. But that is something that you really, really, really need to work hard on. And it's not the end all be all. If you love what you're doing, don't give up the show because your numbers suck. Just don't. Keep going.
When should you give up a show? And this is really negative, but is there a time that you should say, you know what, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do this anymore.
I gave up a show this past, I guess it was beginning of the summer, so maybe spring. We decided when we left on summer break that we wouldn't be coming back to the show. And it just, it came down to the fact that between me and my co-host, that it just became a burden. Mm-hmm. Like you found, like, we were doing it, but we weren't enjoying doing it, because we enjoyed spending the time together, but coming up with content for the show became too much. Having the time to produce the show and spend the hour on the phone each week doing it, when it becomes burdensome, or if, you know, you're not reaching the goals that you thought you were going to reach with it,
right?
Maybe you're not getting sponsorship or what have you. And sometimes when you're telling a story, there's no more story to tell.
That's a really cool point. Mm-hmm. Because there were times in our podcast where I thought to myself, I don't know how many more facts I can find.
That's true. Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't know how many more facts about redheads that I can find. And I think at that junction, we talked about, okay, if that's what we're going to sort of slide on or slide this, do go down the slide a little bit on, how do we recover from that? And how do we, as a podcast, make the show entertaining and bring equal amounts of content, equal amounts of storytelling? And I think what we answered was that we were going to get more guests in, I guess, Tosh, and then kind of transition back to what it is that I guess your mission, you know, yeah, what is your goal behind the podcast? So you've already established that from day one, because that's what happens when you go to Tosh. You have a concept idea, make sure you have that written down. Always go back to that and make sure that consistency, not necessarily in always consistency, yes, in releasing podcasts, but also the consistency in the content that you're putting out there.
Make sure that what you're providing is useful content for your listeners. And if your show says that you're about, you know, gluten-free, then you need to make sure that your show based is, and it doesn't have to be every single fact about eating a gluten-free diet. It could be that you're interviewing this doctor this week, you right. know, like we did with the dermatologist, for example. Like, that's probably one of our best lesson two episodes, because what redhead doesn't want to learn more about their genetics? Exactly. You know, we've been told our whole lives that we're different, so it's kind of, you know, it's neat to learn things like that. So
before we wrap up the show, Tosh, I want to know cost. What's it gonna, like, what do you have for cost? What can people expect when they come to the Podcast Hub to kind of get themselves into the podcast world and having you do most of the heavy lifting behind the scenes so they can get these lovely episodes out to the public?
Okay, so if you just want to do the Learn to Podcast program, it is $300, but I will give you a coupon code.
Ooh,
that, and Darren messaged me earlier. He's like, you got any promos or anything going on? I'm like, nah, I have a coupon code for people I like, and that's about it. So I will share that. You can have 50% off if you go and you use the promo code Team Tosh, all one word.
Team Tosh, okay. We'll put the show
Team
notes too.
Team Tosh, yeah.
And is that a monthly fee?
No, one shot. You can, through the Podcast Hub, just sign up for my newsletter and get some tips and tricks through there as well. And when it comes to producing podcasts, it really depends. Like, that's a one-on-one thing. There's not a solid package okay. that I have, because it's all based on the length of your show, how many episodes you plan on doing, et cetera, et cetera. So that's
right.
That's something that we'd have to have a personal conversation about. It's fun. Don't make it stressful. Don't, like you said, you love listening to Howard. Do you think Howard stresses about it? No.
Ugh. No.
He has fun. He's comfortable. He's excited to do what he's doing. So walk into it the same. Feel the same. Have fun with it and enjoy and practice, practice, practice. That's important. Don't just shoot right into your first episode.
Like, right.
Make sure you record some stuff, especially if you plan on producing yourself. Then record some stuff and mess around with it in your editing software so that you're feeling better about it before you launch that first episode.
We heard it all. We know exactly what you do now. Podcasthub.ca is where you're going to go get all that information. I won't say that. And by the way, folks, you'll be hearing about that this company, podcasthub.ca, all year this year. So just keep that in mind. Sorry if it's too much. But, you know, here, this is the last show before Christmas. It's December the 19th. We're launching the show tomorrow. Right?
Well, I guess I don't have a choice now.
Guess not. No, you could edit this out though, if you want to, you know, but we're launching this week. And this is our last show before our holiday break. We won't be back probably until some point mid January. We haven't decided exactly what that time's going to be yet, but, it's Christmas time. So you pumped? You all set?
A little stressed.
Yeah.
You know, the stress of parents in the final week rounding up for Christmas. Yeah. I feel like I haven't had a chance to enjoy any of the holiday season yet, but I did just drink Bailey's in my hot chocolate while we did that episode. So I'm feeling all right.
Yeah. That's wicked. So top three Christmas movies.
Home Alone, absolute must. Number one, though, even though my kids prefer number two.
Yep.
National Lampoon's.
Yep.
And I don't know if this counts as a Christmas movie. It's definitely a Christmas special. So I always put it at number one. Garfield's Christmas is my all time favorite.
Oh, dang. I haven't seen that in years.
No, it's the best. The best.
Wow. Is it on streaming somewhere?
I don't know. YouTube, I usually watch it on.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
But I also own the DVD.
Oh, man.
And the VHS because I'm a diehard. But
well, there you go. Of course you do. Yeah. Well, that's great. So my top two are the same, except I put Christmas Vacation number one. I put Home Alone number two. I then put what would we call it, I guess? Well, actually, I'm not going to put number three, but I was watching this morning. I was watching The Night Before. Have you seen that one?
The Night Before, yes. Who's in that?
Seth Rogen.
Yes.
The other fella, but I can't remember. Really good Christmas movie. I don't recommend it for kids.
No. No.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas to you, Tosh, too.
Merry Christmas to you. Bye.
You've been listening to the Authentic Ginger Podcast.
Become a part of the Ginger Nation by liking, subscribing, following, and leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts. This podcast was produced by Tosh Taylor of the Podcast Hub Productions. Find her online at podcasthub.ca.